Can't think of a better place to be than to be right here tonight, and very thankful for your presence here. And we are about to enter into the promised land, okay? So we're right at the verge of the promised land. We've marched through the wilderness, and we've come to this place just before the promised land, but we're not going to go into the promised land tonight. What we're going to do tonight is look again at some of the rules in preparation for the promised land. And what we're going to examine tonight is a mandate for Christian families, a mandate for Christian families. And again, I want you to go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter number 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And really, it was such a blessing to me personally, just going through the wilderness journeys and so many applications, some things that in my own life. And I'm sure thankful that God is still working in me, and the Word of God is still speaks to my heart. And so many times what I preach are things that God is personally dealing with me in my life, and I want to continue to grow. And they say that a reptile will continue to grow until it dies, and I'd kind of like to be a reptile and just continue to grow and get closer and closer to the Lord, just as we look for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this section of Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, is a very, very important section of Scripture, and it's a Scripture that God often used in my own home and family, just as far as a challenge to me personally. And that's kind of what I want to do and relate to us tonight. And we're going to read just a portion of this. If you would stand with me this evening, we'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture this evening, but we're going to read just a few verses here to begin with. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to begin here in verse number 3, and we'll read just a section here. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And I want to stop at that point. We'll read some other scriptures here in this section or in this chapter this evening, but we're going to look at a mandate tonight. And a mandate are really just instructions that God gives for Christian families. And I think what I'm going to deal with tonight is absolutely essential. I think everybody understands this. We're losing the nation. We're losing families. We're losing our children. It's a war. And I think most families have no idea that we're in a battle right now. And a battle for the hearts and lives of our children and of our families. If we continue doing things the way that we're doing them right now, we've lost this nation. You keep doing things the same way, and you can expect the same results. And the results haven't been good. So it tells me we've got to come back and change the way we're doing some things. And I believe God's already given us the answer right here in the Bible. So that's what we're going to look at this evening. You'll join me tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we so need Him. You pray tonight God's way would be in this service. And you pray tonight that we would be willing to let the Spirit of God and the Word of God teach us this evening. Father, thank you. And I thank you for, again, the privilege just this evening. It's just been good to be here and to sing these songs, and our hearts have been challenged. And thank you that we have a solid rock that we can stand on. And just as the storms are raging about us, and as multitudes are fading away and drowning in the midst of the stormy weather, that we have a solid rock that we can stand on. And I pray, God, that you would help us to stand upon this rock with our families. And Lord, you would raise up godly generations that would make a difference in this nation. Help us tonight. to be good listeners, good appliers of your word. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask, amen. And you may be seated this evening. And by way of a little bit of review this evening, we looked at this section of scripture last week. And what we have seen here, God's final instructions to his people before they enter into the promised land. And as we have shared that children of Israel are right at the door, right at the cusp of entering into the promised land. And now Moses, before he dies, is going to give them these final instructions. And basically what God is saying is he's about to take them in. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 9. God has promised his people, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee, he says, to a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. He says, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And what God was saying is I'm going to take you into this land, and it's a beautiful and a prosperous land. For those of you that are planning to go to Israel, you're going to see this. You're going to see a beautiful land. You're going to see a land that truly flows with milk and honey. And I believe, as the Bible says, that the eyes of the Lord are upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of it. And this was the kind of land that God was going to reveal unto his people. As I read that, it kind of reminds me of America. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. A land of wheat and barley, a land that out of hills we dig brass, and a land that has been so blessed of God, a land of goodness and prosperity. It's a beautiful land that God has given us, and so a lot of application to us here. Now, God said to his people, as you enter into this land, he said, the sins of this land, of those that inhabit this land, have risen up before me. What God said is, and he described this in other passages, he said the sins of the land, they're vulgar. They were filled with sexual immorality and adultery, promiscuity, bestiality, and homosexuality, and lasciviousness, and sexual sin on every hand. And then he's describing they're idolatrous. They worship many false gods. And what God said is I'm going to take you into this land, but I'm casting out these people. I'm bringing judgment upon them because of their sin. Their sin has risen up in full before me. And he said, I'm going to take you into this land. I'm going to give you this land. And then he says, before you enter this, I'm going to give you this mandate. I'm going to give you official orders or commission to do something when you enter into this land. Now, let me read, if you would, Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 10 through 15. He says, it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou hast eaten or shalt have eaten and be full, he said, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. God says, when you enter into this land, I'm going to bless you with the land you didn't work for it. I'm going to give you houses that you didn't build. I'm going to give you vineyards that you didn't plant. I'm going to give you all of these blessings, and it's just because I love you, he says in Deuteronomy chapter number 7. But he says, when you enter that land, don't follow the ways of the people of the land. Don't go after their gods. Don't learn from their teachings. Okay, that's what I want to focus upon a little bit here tonight. Don't learn from their teachings. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, look with me, verse number 19. He says, it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. So God said before his children, he said, this, as you enter into the land, is how you protect yourself from following their ways. This is a mandate for this promised land. And I want to relate this tonight as a mandate for Christian families. Now, one thing that God was saying to his children, as you enter this land, it's war. It's a battle. I think it was Brother Montoya I heard say this. We've got a lot of part-time Christians trying to fight against a full-time devil. And a part-time Christian can never win the battle against a full-time devil. Okay, it's a war. And here's what's happening today. We've got a lot of homes and families that want to be part-time Christians. And I'm going to be blunt with you. You're not going to make it. Your family is not going to make it. Your family is not going to be used of God if you're going to be a part-time Christian in this full-time warfare. And we got to wake up in America to realize we're losing some things. And the only way we're going to get it is it's going to take some full-time Christianity. It's going to take God's people being real. And we're going to look at this mandate tonight and what God says to families. See, God has given to us a good land, but we are a generation away from losing America, and we don't even know it. Now, I want to just mention their station 106.7. There's a crosstalk show and a program that goes on this. Some very good music on this, by the way. I just want to mention that they're dealing right now with the infiltration of communism, socialism, within the United States of America, and where we are, and where this is coming from, and how this is being taught in our nation and in our land. And we've got to be alert to what's happening. So we're nation, and there's a revolution that is now being fought in the United States of America. I want to read a statement. This was 1956. This was Khrushchev, the leader of communist Russia at that time. Here was his statement, and we don't realize how close this is to being fulfilled right now. He said, we will take America without firing a shot. We do not have to invade the U.S. We will destroy you from within. That was 1956, and we're pretty close to that right now. I believe the key here tonight, Christian families, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, I believe for Christian families, the key is this book right here, God's book and God's word. This is your mandate. These are your marching orders. This is full-time war, and this better be your full-time book. And if this is not your full-time book, you're not going to make it. Let me look at verse number 1. And here's what God said to his children of Deuteronomy 6 as they enter the land. He says in this verse, now these commandments, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land whither you go. He said, these are your marching orders. Now, I believe this is why there is such an attack upon God's word today. Our founding fathers understood the importance of God's word. Did you realize most of our founding fathers were educated through the Bible? Many of our presidents and politicians and scientists and preachers of the foundations of America had a Christian education. They were trained in the Word of God. They were brought up under the principles of God's Word. They understood the moral values and teachings of the Word of God. In 1782, Congress in the United States of America authorized the printing of a King James Bible. And that was a foundational. They understood that for our nation to stand, it must be built upon moral principles. They understood that the moral principles were the Word of God, and the foundation of America must be the Bible. The first schools in America were homeschools or church-based schools. The major textbook in the United States of America was the Bible. This was the foundation of our nation. The only hope for America, I believe, is Christian families, Christian parents understanding God's mandate. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so many allowing the gods and the teachings of this world to pull down their family and to pull down their children. Many of the teachings of the lost. And this was what God warned his people. He says, when you enter into this land, you're not to follow the ways of those lost nations before you. I'm judging those nations. I'm casting those nations out. He says, you don't follow their ways. And if you follow their ways, you forget me and my teachings. It won't be long. You're going to be cast out as them. And that's what's happening in America. You see, God's people, God's families today are following the teachings and the ways of the world. And we're losing America. We're not following the principles of God's word. And we're losing this nation. I'm going to give you a very simple mandate tonight from God's word. It's what God says to us. Now, I believe, first of all, there's a mandate for Christian families to live the word of God. Amen. To live the word of God. See, Christianity must be real in the home, in the life, in the family. It's not a head knowledge we're talking about. Again, we're in full-time war. And this must be full-time Christianity that we're talking about. You see, this must be a full surrender to the Lord. This must be a surrender to the Lord Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day, 24 hours of the week. See, one of the major factors given today for young people leaving churches, and this is statistics telling us this, hypocrisy in the home. A double standard. Saying one thing, but living another thing. Not being real. Not living the Bible. This is what God is warning his people. When you enter the land, this Bible is your life. You are to live it. And we presented this thought last week. You'll notice here in what God said. Notice in verse number 2. You're to fear God. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. When you enter this land, you're to have a reverence and a respect and an acknowledgement of God. You're to recognize the hand of God. You're to realize that there's one God, one Lord. You're to put that God in a prominent place. And this is what the Bible is saying to us as God's people. This is our mandate. If we're to serve the Lord, we're to fear God with all of our hearts and souls. And we are to uplift and uphold the name of God. I believe within our homes, we are to teach that God is on constant guard, that God is the His presence is in our lives, that He watches everything that we do. He hears everything that we say. He knows every thought that we think. He knows our words before we even say them tonight. And this is a fear of God that must be a part and established within our homes and families. He says in verse number 2, you're not only to fear God, but you're to obey God. He says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep his statutes, his commandments, which I command thee, thou, thy son, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, obedience, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord thy God of thy fathers promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Tremendous emphasis. Last week we read a lot of verses throughout the book of Deuteronomy that talked about obedience to the word of God. There's a false teaching today that God's job is to make you happy, and that God is a big Santa Claus, that whatever makes you happy, it's God's job to do whatever it is or takes to make you happy, to give you what you want. No, that's not who God is. You see, God is holy. God wants you to be right. And see, God's more concerned about you being right than he is about you being happy. In doing right, you're going to find that it is not comfortable. And what God is saying, you're going to land, and the ways of this land is contrary to what you are taught and to what you want to do. And friend, we live in a world where the ways of God is contrary to this world. And you cannot walk in the path of this world, and you cannot do the things that this world does, and you cannot live in this world and expect to raise your family and your children and have your home make an impact for God. You cannot do it. You cannot be a part of this world. You can't join affinity with this world. See, God's job is not to make you happy and to do whatever it takes for you to be happy in your life. Your job is to obey God. Your job is to do right, to follow the principles of God's word. This was years ago. I read a Reader's Digest story that it affected and impacted my own life. And it reminded me so much of my dad, because my dad taught some principles: right is right and wrong is wrong. Was a boy and his father, they went fishing. It was the first day of the fishing season. This little boy had a new fishing pole and new gear, and he was so excited this first day of fishing. And I don't know what time, we'll say 6 o'clock. The season opened 6 o'clock that morning. I think that's when it was. And at 6 o'clock that morning, the season began. And this little boy so excited, and he got to this lake, and he tosses out his pole. He wasn't supposed to, but he tosses out the line and immediately hooked the biggest fish that he'd ever hooked in his life. And he fought that fish, and he brought that fish in and got it all the way up, and he was so excited. And he said his daddy looked at his watch, and he said, "Son, legally, the season hasn't opened." He said, "You're going to have to throw the fish back." And son said, "But Dad, that's a big fish." And dad says, "But son, that's the law." And son threw the fish back. And he said, and this was the Reader's Digest article, he said, "That was the greatest lesson I learned in my life." He said, "My daddy taught me that right is right and obedience is obedience." And he said, "That stuck with me through the rest of my life." You see, and I would just say to you here tonight, obedience is not always convenient. It's not always comfortable. And obedience will often go against your flesh. Obedience is often going to go contrary to this world. It's going to go contrary to what everybody else is telling you to do. But right is right. And God said you're not to follow the path of this world and the teachings of this world, but you are to follow the principles of God as you enter into the promised land. See, this has to be real. It's got to start in homes. And just be honest with us tonight. I think many times parents are not willing to hold kids accountable because parents are not willing to be accountable. Parents know some things that are wrong with their kids, but parents are wrong themselves. And parents, you can't teach something that you're not willing to do or be. You see, it's got to be real. This book has got to be real. This war in this world is a real battle. And this has got to be something that is life transforming as we face this world. So he said, fear God, obey God. And then he says, love God. And notice again, verse 5. See, we're to live this book. He says in chapter 6, verse number 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." He's talking to Christian families. He's talking to these families that are going to enter the promised land. He says, love for God has to be deeper than your words. The love for God has to affect your actions. Your actions show your love. And if you love God, you're going to love his word. And to love church and love God's people and love God's souls and lost souls. And our children know it. You can hide from your children. You can hide from each other. We can put on a smile. We can come to church, but your children know you. Life, they know who you are. They see you. I've discovered if hypocrisy is in my life, the first people to know it, my own family. They see me. They know me. And so to love God has to be a total commitment and impact of our lives. We have a mandate to live the word of God. Now let me expand this. Look in Deuteronomy 6. We have a mandate to teach the word of God. In Deuteronomy 6, verse number 6, he said, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently And that word, I've underlined it in my Bible. Diligently unto thy children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You see, God's word is to be the center of our home. It is the foundation of what we are to teach. Now, I have a strong conviction, and this was something my wife and I, from the very beginning, we determined, even before we were married, that with our children, we would give them a Christian education. See, I believe the Bible is to be the foundation of education. I want you, just for a second, and I want to take a time here tonight. Keep your place, Deuteronomy. I want you to follow me. See, this is throughout the Word of God. You'll find Psalm. Look with me, Psalm 1. Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, it reads, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his leaf or his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You see, you want your children to succeed? God tells you how. He says your children will succeed, you will succeed, to the extent that the Word of God is the book of your life. You want success? I'm amazed. Sometimes our vision is not God's vision. You see, we want children to be the great sports stars and the great heroes and have the great education. And I believe we ought to strive for our best in every single area. But listen to me, the first area, the foundational area, must be the Word of God. And if that's not right, nothing else is going to work out. See, that must be the foundation. That's what God's word says. That's the path to success. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. This father teaching his son. In Proverbs chapter 1, I want you to notice here verse number 7, Proverbs chapter 1. And see, these are our principles that God dealt with my heart about just in raising my family. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's Proverbs 1, verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Math is not the beginning. English, science, and social studies, they're not the beginning. Those are important. But the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. That's the foundation of it. And the Bible says, "But fools despise wisdom." Notice in Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6. He says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." See, true learning is founded in God and in his word. You notice in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 20, he says, "Cease my to hear the instruction, cause it to err from the words of knowledge." Anything that takes us away from the foundation of God's word, God says, cease to hear that type of instruction. Forsake that. Notice in Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. Proverbs 22 verse 6. He says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." These are the principles of God's word. Ephesians 6 verse number 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord." In Philippians 4, verse number 8, the Bible tells us we are to think wholesome thoughts, and those wholesome thoughts are to be centered upon God's word. Do you realize, and turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, do you realize God warns about teachings contrary to his word? What God warns several times, over and over, in the book of Colossians chapter. Notice here in verse number 8, Colossians 2, verse number 8. He gives a warning. He says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse chapter 6, and verse 20. He says, "O Timothy, keep that committed to thy trust. avoiding and oppositions of science falsely so called. And I would say that oppositions of science would be any teaching that would go contrary to God. Evolution would be an opposition of science and would be a destruction of the foundations. He said, professing have erred concerning the faith. He said, grace be with thee. We could go on and on. Now, I mentioned this in Sunday school on Sunday morning, and I got this from Brother Montoya. He mentioned this to me. I don't have to put my head under a truck tire and let the truck tire run over me to know that's not good for my head, do I? Okay, that's pretty obvious. There are some things that biblically are pretty obvious, and yet we wonder why 60 to 80% of young people leave our churches after high school. Why is that happening? Well, we have oppositions of science, falsely so-called, and foundations that are unbiblical. I want you to consider some of the education of today. It's an attack upon God. See, an education that teaches God doesn't exist is a wrong education. An education that teaches that there is no creation of the world, that everything happened by evolution, is a false education. An education that attacks the Word of God is a false education. An education that goes against the principles of God's Word. See, an attack upon moral absolutes today. We are being taught today that sexual purity is okay, or sexual purity is to be shunned. We're taught that premarital and extramarital and homosexual and lesbian sexual relationships are fine. The Ten Commandments have been removed from our public systems today. And we are mocking the Ten Commandments. There's an attack upon our biblical history. Do you realize history in America is being rewritten? History is being changed before our eyes. Men like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Stonewall Jackson, Christopher Columbus, Patrick Henry, they were heroes. And I were taught they were heroes. Those men are being attacked in our educational system today as being enemies. I want to give you, this is an example. A grade school history book. Small paragraph about George Washington, a very small paragraph, 9 pages about Marilyn Monroe. Okay, that's history book. Our history being repent, an attack upon Christian capitalism. A generation today is being taught that America is bad, that America must apologize to the rest of the world, that socialism and communism today are good. You think socialism and communism are good today? Look at Venezuela. Look at Russia before the fall of the wall. Look at China today. And over, I think, 100,000 Christians killed because they stood against communism. Look today. Communism takes from those who work and gives to those who won't work. Communism today destroys religious freedom. And we're being taught that that's good and that Christian capitalism is wrong today. This is being force-fed down a generation. We're teaching tolerance because we have a Christian school. I received in the mail a magazine and the title of the magazine, Teaching Tolerance. I began to read through this Teaching Tolerance. And what they're telling you is that whatever anybody wants to do is okay and that you're never to judge. There are no absolutes. And the one group that is not tolerant about are Christians and biblical Christians and those that hold to the principles of God's Word. Say, why are we losing a nation? God already told me the outcome. Again, I don't have to put my head under a tire to know what's going to happen. As a parent, God has expressed, my priority is to live the Word of God and to teach the Word of God and instill the foundations of the Word of God upon my children and upon my family. I have a mandate to do that. As I enter into the promised land, this is God's word to me. Now, I want to take just a time. Go back to Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to rush through this last thought. We have a mandate to live the Word of God. We have a mandate to teach the Word of God. We have a mandate to uphold and proclaim the Word of God. Look in Deuteronomy 6, verse number 8. He says, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. See, I'm not to be ashamed. What he is saying is, I enter into this promised land, God's word is to be my life. I am to hide the word of God upon my heart. I am to write the word of God upon the posts of mine house. I am to put the word of God at the gates of my house. I see, I believe the principle is this tonight. I am to keep God's word ever before me and ever before my family. I am to place the word of God in my life. I am to instill the word of God in my family. And see, God's word is the guidebook tonight. God's word is the manual for success. You want to be successful. You want your family to have success tonight. This is the book going to bring about success. This will bring success in your life. It will bring success in your home. It'll bring success in our community. It'll bring success in our nation. That's what God says in his word. The Bible is to be my guide, not unbiblical teachings, not humanistic teachings, not man-centered philosophies, not me being my own God, not feels good, do it. God's word should be placed above education. God's word should be placed above entertainment. I need to get the principles for my family, not from TV, not from music, but from the word of God. God's word is to be placed above pleasure, above possession, above peers tonight. It's God's word that will help your children leave because they never got born again. And it's God's word that's going to teach them how to be saved. It's God's word that will teach to know God's will. It's a great tragedy today that multitudes have no idea why God made them and what God's purpose for their life is. Listen to me, God has a plan and a purpose for you and for each and every one of you. And I don't care how rich you get or how well-educated you get, if you miss God's will for your life, you've gained the world and you've lost your soul. You've lost the blessing of God. God has a purpose. It's God's word that shows you that purpose for your life. It's the word God that will make the difference in a heart and in a life and lead to the will of God, to contentment, to joyfulness, to peaceful, loving attitudes. The word of God makes the difference. God's word will give your family success and longevity in the promised land. That's what God said. There's a mandate to live God's word. There's a mandate to teach God's word. There's a mandate to uphold and proclaim God's word. And what God says to his children, when you enter into this land, this is the book that's going to keep you there. This is the book that's going to bring you success. And so as we are preparing to enter the promised land, it's for us. This is God's book. And this is what has to be upheld and lived and proclaimed. Let's bow our heads tonight, every head bowed.